Thank you again, Kelly, for those songs. And thank you, Jack, for playing. And thank you again for having me come back out this evening. I so enjoyed being here over the past 2 days, I guess 2 weeks. Really, really enjoyed being here. And thank you so much for your continued support. I really appreciate that. I know that many of you are praying for us, and I just want you to know that we really do feel that, so thank you so much for that. Before we begin, let's just once again turn to the Lord in prayer. Our Lord God and our Heavenly Father, we do again thank you so much for this day that you have given to us, Lord. What a beautiful day you have given to us, and we thank you so much for it. We thank you for bringing each and every one of us out here this evening, Lord. And again, we do just ask one more time that you help us as we look into your word. I just pray that it would jump out at us, Lord, and the message would really hit us. And again, to just challenge us to live pure in your eyes, Lord, and to walk according to your path. So we just pray for your blessing upon this evening. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to be honest with you. Flat out, straight honest with you. I really had a bit of a hard time trying to figure out how I was going to bring everything that I've spoken on over the past 2 weeks together. And as I was praying about it, I thought I would talk on purity. We started last Sunday in the morning talking about anxiety and stress and fear. And we talked about, again, looking at that from the biblical point of view. Last Sunday evening, we talked about depression, and we looked at Job. And then, of course, this morning, we looked at Achan and the hidden sin in the camp. And all three of those topics really kind of pointed me towards not any particular passage, but just the topic of purity and how we as believers ought to live. And so I just thought we'd talk a little bit about that this evening. I do have a passage that I'd like to look at as our theme. So if you turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, that is going to be our theme as we move forward. And I will preface this with just this. We will be flipping around a lot in the scriptures as we go forward. I have them all recorded here in my notes. And feel free to follow along with me as much as you can. But just know that I might just be going through a number of them just for the sake of time. And if you so desire, I suggest you jot down the references and look them up in your own time, because they are all excellent passages. I mean, of course they are. They're all from God's Word, right? But this is going to be the theme verse. So Romans chapter 12, we're going to start at verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that's going to be our theme as we go forward. That's what we're going to continue to come back to, is this idea that we do not become conformed to this world, but that we live according to that good, acceptable and perfect will of God, and we demonstrate that in our lives. One of the things I've heard a lot is, why don't we see power in our churches anymore? I've actually heard that from a number of young people, even just as I've done teen groups and what have you. We seem to have hit, as you would maybe call it, the age of Laodicea, an age of lukewarmness in our culture, in Christians today. And we've been touching on that a little bit as we've gone through these past couple of messages here, just seeing the world around us and how it's all seeming to fall apart. And I really believe we don't see the power that we maybe see in the New Testament here because of the fact that there is so much impurity in the hearts of people who claim to be called Christians today. God cannot use a polluted vessel, and we talked about that this morning, about how God cannot use a polluted vessel. One of the passages that came to mind was James 3, verses 11 to 12, which says this: does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Now this is particularly talking about the tongue, but the principle is the same. You cannot have fresh and salt water coming from the same opening. And in the same way, you cannot be impure in heart and living for the Lord. That's kind of the understanding going forward from here. And then we have this endorsement from Paul to live, therefore, by the mercies of God, and to present yourself as a whole and living sacrifice. And that's the call, how we align ourselves and find the perfect will of God. We need to make sure that we renew ourselves in Him and not become conformed to this world. One of the things I do notice as I open my phone and as I read all the articles that just tend to be bombarded on there, is that today is very much getting close to the same as what the time of Noah was. If you look around, you see the wickedness starting to pour forth in this world. And in fact, Jesus himself warned us that that was how things were going to get. In Matthew 24, verses 37 through to 39, he says this: but as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, there were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of man. And we are very quickly coming to that point where everyone is wicked. And the only thoughts in his heart, as stated in Genesis chapter 6, is only evil continually. We're very quickly getting to that time. And I think it's so important that as believers, as Christians, we continue to come back to the Word of God, to purify our hearts, to renew our minds, to renew ourselves in Christ, so that we do not become conformed to this world. There's one big thing that I cannot help but notice as I walk around, and I'm sure all of you have noticed this as well, is the immorality in this world. It's everywhere. And I'm sure some of you are thinking to yourselves of some of the various things that have just flooded the market, even within the past decade. Stuff that would never have been exposed, 20 years ago, is now right on the front, shoved into our faces. One of the hardest things I find, and I told Rebecca this when we first kind of went shopping together as we walked through a mall, was, just make sure that you stand here and you keep me walking that direction, because that store, I don't want to have anything to do with. I don't even want to look in the window. The immorality is everywhere. It's in our movies, it's in our commercials, it's on the magazine racks, it's everywhere. And as such, people become disillusioned and people start to turn away from what God has desired for us. It's not easy to have a pure heart in this world, is it? It really is not an easy thing to have a pure heart. But we do have a great promise. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." What we really have to decide is this: who or what do we value the most? What do we value the most? The next thing I see is that only God can satisfy. Only God can satisfy. The thing with immorality is everybody's jumping on it to try to satisfy themselves, and people find other ways to try to satisfy themselves. Perhaps it's through the abuse of substances, or perhaps it's through some sort of anything else, really. It could even be just filling your mind with garbage that is spewed towards us as far as being claiming to be entertainment or what have you. And the thing we do realize is that only truly God can satisfy our hearts. Only God can satisfy. How precious is your loving kindness, O Lord. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house. That's Psalm chapter 36. Pleasure was designed by God, and it can only be truly fulfilled through God. And of course, this whole message is centered around the belief in Christ. And I know that you guys know this. I see many familiar faces out here this evening, and it's so encouraging to have that. And I know you guys have probably heard this kind of a message 1,000 times, where we need to continue to remain in our relationship with God, and we need to walk in the path that God has laid before us. And this whole message is centered around the fact that we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But the one thing I'd like to really do this evening, just talking about this, is I want to give you 7 points. These are 7 things that I personally have found helpful as I've sought to live for the Lord. And I'm by no means an expert. In fact, many of you have decades of years upon experience, more than I do. And yet at the same time, as I've sought the scripture and as I've really asked the Lord to help me, these are different things that have come to mind, things that have helped me personally and people around me that I know, in order to help us to remain renewed in our minds to God and remain pure in our hearts towards Him. So the very first thing we're going to jump to, the very first passage is Psalm chapter 119. This is going to be the theme for this 1 point, and we're going to do that as we go forward. Commit Scripture to memory. If you know the passage, repeat it along with me if you do. How can a young man cleanse his way? This is verse 9 of Psalms 119. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. And here's the verse. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. My very first point I have is this. Commit Scripture to memory. Commit Scripture to memory. We cannot renew our minds without God's word. We cannot be pure in heart unless we have God's word with us. God's word is described as a weapon in the word of God. And even Jesus, when he was tempted in the wilderness, he came back always with scripture. It's important to have an understanding of the word of God. And I know we're not perfect. In fact, one thing that I struggle really with memorizing is references. You know, I can tell you the gist of what a passage is saying, and yet very often the reference slips from my mind. But I really commend you, and I really challenge you to start memorizing Scripture. We did it, of course, all the time at camp. We did it in Sunday school. In fact, perhaps some of you even remember that or have taken part of being the listeners for kids coming and reciting Scripture. And it's so encouraging to hear a little child sit in front of you and list off a number of passages referring to the love of God and how Jesus has died on the cross for them and our way of salvation made through the Son of God. It's so encouraging to see that. And yet I find that a lot of times once you hit those teen years or maybe even a little bit beyond that, that scripture memorization stops. I know at least in my own life that it just stopped. There was no desire to continue to go. In fact, at Hope Valley, the staff were all required to memorize 12 particular passages. I believe it's 12. It was 10, and then I think they added 2 more. So 10 verses and 2 passages of scripture. And each staff member is required to have those passages memorized. And for the first few years, I did it. And then afterwards, I was far enough in the ranks that I didn't have to, you know, and it kind of let it drop away. But I'll tell you, when you're sitting with someone and you're talking to them about a subject, and you know that there's a passage in the Word of God, and yet you don't know what it is and you don't know where it is, it can be so frustrating. And having that scripture committed to memory, even just knowing a general location of where things are, can be so helpful in our spiritual walk and in our encouragement to others around us. I really challenge you, commit scripture to memory. Your word I have hidden in my heart. It's a very key part to study. And the psalmist said that he hid God's word in his heart. If you commit to consistently memorizing scripture, I guarantee you it will change your life. It really, really will. So that's the very first point. Commit scripture to memory. The second passage is this, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Again, if you have your Bibles, you can flip over to it. Joshua 1, verse 8, this is point number 2. Read the word daily. Now, this kind of goes hand in hand with the first point, and you'll find that there's a general consensus that these are all chained and linked together. Commit scripture to memory, and then read the word daily. This book of the law, this is Joshua 1, 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Now, this is a pretty standard point, I think, and I know that I have made this point here in the past, and probably a few times, actually. It's one of those things that is always on the forefront of my mind, because it's one of those things, again, that I have a hard time with, is reading the word daily. And I really believe Satan really distracts us from doing so, because he knows how beneficial it is to us. One interesting thing, I always thought that I was a bad Christian because I wouldn't read my Bible every single day. And something interesting kind of hit me when I was talking to my father, and he said that the hardest thing with everything that he does is getting up and dedicating to sitting down and reading the Word of God. And that kind of hit me, knowing that someone like my dad, which I don't want to put him on an elevation of any sort, but I really do look up to him as a spiritual mentor, and I think it's great that I have the privilege to do that, but someone like my father, who can stand up and preach the Word of God, still struggles with reading his Bible every day. And that's each and every one of us. We all, I'm sure, have a hard time reading the Word of God every day. If you're wanting to get back into it, or you're wanting some place to start, I recommend using the Psalms and the Proverbs. They're excellent. Each one of them can be cut into little chunks, and they can have really vital, important information for us, stuff that we can learn and grasp. They touch subjects that a lot of people don't like to talk about, and yet the Word of God records them. And I really believe that's a good place to start. Another good place to start is the Gospel of John. I love the Gospel of John and how John writes everything out. But when it comes to study and memorization, there are a few pitfalls to be aware of. And these are things that, again, I have experienced personally. When most people decide to commit to study, to these study disciplines, they see a tremendous spiritual growth. And then they get excited about studying, and as they continue to go, the emotions start to fade. And they usually begin to postpone study times, and soon they abandon all study habits altogether. And like everything else in our spiritual lives, feelings ought not to be our guides. Discipline is required when we commit to follow through, even if we don't feel like it. Don't overwhelm yourself. Don't burn yourself out. But take the time every day to sit down, open the Word of God, and read what it has in there for you. So that's the second point. Read the Word daily. The third point, Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 through to 22. Now, this one might sound a little paradoxical, but this point I've labeled, remember your chains. Remember your chains. Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he is reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Now, something in the scripture that God has told us is that he remembers our sins no more. It's a beautiful thing to know that God has taken our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. We know that. In fact, we too are challenged to, in Isaiah 43, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. Isaiah 43:18 says that. In fact, even Paul in Philippians 3, verse 13 says this, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead." Forgetting those things behind. So oftentimes that's what we're told, and that's how we go forward, is by forgetting all the sins that we've committed, and that's good. We ought to erase those from our memory. And yet, we also look at the scripture, and the people with the most passion are the people who remembered what God did for them. What God did for them. For example, Jesus cast 7 demons out from Mary, and she followed Jesus faithfully after that. Paul, in fact, was bound by his delusion to destroy the church, and he imprisoned and carried many Christians to their executions. And yet, after he was converted, he never forgot his past and often mentioned it in his epistles. He lived life with a passion for Christ because he saw what Jesus had delivered him from. Now, again, I want to be careful here, because this is not carrying the burden of guilt. I remember one particular event that took place in my past, and I have been kicking myself ever since that day because of it. And I really wish, it's one of those events that, you know, if you ever had a time machine, that's the one place you would go back and change. You know, it's one of those kind of things. And I almost hate myself for it. But see, the guilt of that should not be with us anymore, because in that moment, you turn to the Lord, you give it to him, and he forgives and forgets. It's done. It's written off. And so the guilt of that no longer needs stay. And sometimes the devil likes to take that and bring it to the forefront and remind you and say, look at what you did. You don't deserve to keep on going in the Lord, because you're a sinner. And that's not what we're talking about here. But when I say remember your chains, that's not what we're talking about. Guilt is very unhealthy, and it has no place in the Christian life if we have come to the Lord in repentance and asked for his forgiveness. If we have done that, we have been pardoned from our guilt by the grace of God provided to us by Jesus Christ on the cross. So here's the point. The guilt is gone, but the joy of our deliverance should remain. It's when we forget our bondage that we forget God's grace and his love towards us. This is why God gave Israel days of feasts as part of the law. The whole purpose of the feast of the Passover was to remind them of the exodus from Egypt, from coming out of that, from how God had delivered them in his great might. In fact, this is also why God gives us communion. That's part of the reason for it, is to remember where we once stood in our sinfulness and our filth, and then remember how the sacrifice of the Son of God took our place, came in our stead and for our sake. It's important to remember where we were without God and to be thankful for where we now stand in God. So that is what I mean when I say remember your chains. Remember where we were saved from, and be thankful for the grace of God, for where we now stand in him. So remember your chains. Plunked right down in the middle of these points is point number 4, focus on Jesus Christ. Now, we've been talking about this quite a bit over the last 2 weeks. It's kind of been one of those things that has just kind of poked its head in every single one of my messages, partially because I have a very, very bad tendency to be distracted and to not focus. So this is one of those things we need to continue to remind ourselves to do. Focus on Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 says this, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." One of the things I used to do when I was in high school, I had piano lessons. I stuck to my piano lessons all the way through high school. There were moments where I really wanted to quit, but one of the saving graces of doing my piano lessons was that afterwards I got to walk to Grandma and Grandpa's house and sit there and spend the night with them. And I remember sitting up late at night and watching things come up on the Discovery Channel. We'd sit there. My grandmother had no idea what most of it was. We would watch, Monster Trucks or something like that. And she'd just sit there and, oh yeah, this is good, you know. I'm sure she had no idea what it was that they were actually doing. But one of the shows, of course, and I'm sure some of you have seen it, is the Canada's Worst Driver. Have any of you seen the Canada's Worst Driver? Okay, yeah. One thing that I always laughed at was these people who just could not drive in a straight line. You know what the biggest reason for that is? They were distracted. They would be going and be looking over there, and all of a sudden their car would just kind of veer off the tracks and into the pylons or the fake pedestrians that were set up for them to avoid. That was kind of the thing. They couldn't focus on where they were going. I actually encountered that at one point. I'm a little embarrassed to say this, but I trust you guys, so I'll tell you. I was driving the one day. I was going to go put my winter tires on, and anyways, as I was going, something fell in the back seat, and it startled me, and I looked over my right shoulder, and as I did that, of course, the natural thing for your arms to do is to do that, and didn't I drive my car into a bunch of guardrails? I took out 9 guardrails, took out the whole front of my car. It's still the same car that I'm driving. If you look closely enough, the fender is slightly different color because it's all been replaced. Isn't it funny how just a simple moment of distraction caused so much damage? We need to remain focused on the Lord. Where our focus lies is where we are going. We need to make sure that our path is straight on the Lord and that we look to Him as our guide. We cannot be distracted to the right or to the left. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is the story of Peter in the boat when Jesus is walking towards him, and he steps out of the boat in order to go towards Jesus, and he starts to walk on the water. His focus was on the Lord Jesus Christ, and because of that, he was able to start walking on the water, and then he got distracted by the waves and the seas and the winds and the storms, and the minute that he lost his focus on Christ, he sank. Isn't that interesting? We need to keep our focus on the Lord. Keep our focus on the Lord. So that's point number 4. Point number 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 12. This one's another difficult one. In fact, you know what? Rather than saying it for every single point, I'm just going to tell you right now all these points are difficult. Each and every one of them. And yet we're commanded by the Lord to live by this, because this is how we have a pure heart. And this is how we live by God's path, is to do these things. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 and 13. "Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it." My point for this one is this: depend on God's grace. When we begin to feel self-sufficient, we will be blindsided. When we start to depend on ourselves, we get hit with a temptation we can't handle, and we fall headfirst straight into it. But God is faithful. He will be your strength, and he will show you a way of escape. The problem is that when we are not looking to him, he can't lead us out of trouble. God will allow you to be tempted, but here's the thing with temptation. It strengthens you when you turn to God, and it weakens you when you turn to the temptation. It strengthens you if you turn to God, but it weakens you when you turn to the temptation. Our righteousness does not come from ourselves, but it comes by the grace of God through faith in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says this, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Our righteousness comes from God. Our righteousness and holiness is imputed into our lives by faith in what Christ has already done. And God clearly tells us that his strength is made perfect in our weakness. 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through to 4 say this, "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." This is only possible in our faith in Jesus Christ. And so we ought to rely and depend on God's grace in our lives. Faith in Christ means that you not only believe he is who the Bible says, but that you trust him by committing your life to him every single day going forward, and relying on him to lead you through the storms, and by focusing on him. So that's point number 5, depend on God's grace. Number 6, this is a great passage, all right? So a lot of these passages are nice and long, but this one's short, which means it's easy to remember, and it is this. This is here. Our first point was, I've hidden my heart, your word in my heart, so commit scripture to memory. This is one to remember. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Pray without ceasing. There you go. That's a good one to remember, isn't it? Pray without ceasing. If you're not consistently praying, your spiritual life will suffer. Key ingredients to an active prayer life include setting aside a specific time for prayer. If you do not set a specific prayer time, you will not be consistent. But take time to praise God for who he is. Acknowledge him as God and acknowledge his right to leave your life or to lead your life. When struggles arise, acknowledge his sovereignty along with your petitions. Let him direct you even when you can't see the end result. When you acknowledge him as God, you will be more able to thank him for what he has done and is continuing to do. Thanksgiving is critical. Confession of sins, that's also critical. Keep short accounts with God. Intercede for others. Those things all come about by having a consistent prayer life. They all come about by having a consistent prayer life. Here's another excellent passage to remember. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. By praying to him, we acknowledge him as God in our life. And we allow him to work in our lives by having a relationship and a communication with him. Take time to come to the Lord in prayer, and your relationship in him will grow faster than you could imagine. I'm going to share this just a little bit. I don't want to go too terribly into details, but one thing that Rebecca and I have found super helpful in our own relationship is by praying together every night. Now, we are by no means perfect. I know that. In fact, I know the other night I was coming home from Hawksville, and we didn't get a chance to pray because by the time I got home, she had passed out, And by the time she had woken up, I had passed out. So, you know, it just didn't happen, unfortunately, that night. But we made up for it the following one. And I really believe that our relationship is where it is today because of the fact that we've committed to praying. Now, again, not to raise ourselves on a pedestal by any means, but to simply give you an illustration as to how the Lord can work to those of us and through those of us who dedicate to praying to Him. And I really commend you, just from experience, our relationship with the Lord has grown substantially since we started praying. And I'm so thankful for that. And it's encouraged me to continue to want to pray so that we can continue to grow together in Him. So again, pray without ceasing. And finally, this is the last one, make lifestyle changes. Point number 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Again, another fairly well-known passage. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, again, I know that we talked about remembering your chains and remembering from where we came from, and that's important. But as well, we also ought to make sure that when we go forward, we're making changes in our lives that reflect our desire to follow Him. As many of you know, I'm a programmer, a computer programmer, a computer geek, not a nerd. There's a difference. But I am a computer geek, self-proclaimed, and I'm quite okay with that. I went to school for it, and one of the very first things that we learned was the acronym GIGO, G-I-G-O, which stands for this, garbage in, garbage out. That's exactly what it stands for, and the bottom line behind it was that you have to, I'm sorry, I'm going to use this, idiot-proof your program, because people would come on to programs and type in garbage, and guess what? They get garbage in return. Whatever you put into the computer, it processes it, and then it returns it. Garbage in equals garbage out. It's the same thing with us. If you put garbage into your mind, your spiritual life will be garbage as well. For example, the back of my car. I know I've talked about this before. I think the last time I talked about it, we were talking about Hezekiah. It's actually better right now. I did clean it out. And then I started driving back and forth to Hawkesville, and all of a sudden the back of my car started to fill up with Timmy's cups. And guess what? The more that you drink, the more that go back into the back of the car. And now I've got a nice little pile of Timmy's cups. Garbage in means garbage out, right? Near the beginning of the message, we read from this passage, James chapter 3, verse 11. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Your life cannot be contaminated with garbage and be spirit-filled at the same time. Not only must we renew our mind, but we must also guard our heart and our mind from the world. One of the points from the other day was this, I will not be moved. And we talked about how many Christians have given up on their faith and on their standing in the Word of God. And we ought to be very careful. Guard our hearts from the battering of this world. Guard our hearts from the immorality that is surrounding us. Be sure that we stand firm on the righteousness of God. Make lifestyle changes. Sometimes it is making an actual change to how you live your life. If you desire to live for the Lord, sometimes a big drastic change is necessary. Even for those of us who have lived for the Lord for a long time, sometimes we need to reevaluate our lives and say, are we truly following the Lord in all that we do? It's so easy to be distracted in this world. Rebecca and I, again, we were talking just about how hard it is, especially for kids today, because there's this pull of being involved in sports and extracurricular activities, and a lot of them take place on a Sunday that distract from the Word of God. They're not allowed to participate because they have to go to this big sports meet, and that becomes very quickly more important, and all of a sudden, guess what? They're not walking with the Lord because they're not getting the teaching from the Word of God that they need to sustain themselves. Sometimes we need to make a lifestyle choice and say, no, guess what? Going to church is more important than going to my soccer game. Or by catching that hockey game on at night, or whatever else it might be. Sometimes we need to make those lifestyle changes and make sure that we're not putting garbage in. So here are 7 points one more time, just so that you remember them, and hopefully you remember them. The first one is this: commit Scripture to memory. I really challenge you, you know, if you have the time, sit down, grab a passage of Scripture and start to memorize it, start to go over it. My grandmother, just before she went home, that was one thing that she loved to do, and I remember clear as day, her going up and reciting, it was the first chapter of Ephesians, and she stood up at the front, this tiny little old lady, 4'8", you know, standing there as frail as could be and reciting that passage of Scripture, and it was beautiful. And then the next Sunday she'd get up and she'd do the same thing, but James chapter 1. And then the next Sunday she'd get up and she'd do the same thing, but with another passage. And then another passage. That was what she did when she was sitting at home, committed Scripture to memory. And it was something that I really adored in her. So that's point number one: commit Scripture to memory. Number two, read the Word daily, every day. Make it a chore if you have to sit down and to open the Word of God. Dedicate yourselves to it so that you don't forget. Find some way of getting that daily Word into your life. Read it daily. Number three, remember your chains. Remember from where we came from. Remember how God has pulled us from bondage and where we now stand because of Him. And of course, on top of that, we need to focus on Jesus. Keep our focus on Him. Don't be distracted by the world around us. We ought to depend on His grace and ask for His help in the times of trouble. Of course, along with that, we need to pray without ceasing. And sometimes those points result in us having to make some pretty big lifestyle changes in order to live for Him. Again, just as a recap for everything that we've talked about together, we looked at anxiety and stress and fear and worry, and we looked at how we need to rely on Him for everything. Rely on Him to carry us through those moments. We talked about depression and the fact that sometimes we can get caught up in grief, and yet, at the same time with Him, He can carry us out of that grief back into having a purpose in our lives by living for Him. This morning we talked about the hidden sin, and the general consensus was that we need to have a pure heart before a holy and righteous God. And I certainly hope that as we go out from here this evening and as we go on through our weeks, that we seek to live in a pure way and a righteous way before the Lord our God. I hope that this has been an encouragement, and I just pray that the Lord would bless you as you go out from here. Let's just close in a word of prayer. Our Lord God and our Heavenly Father, we do again thank You for this day that You've given to us. We thank You for all that You've done for us. We just thank You for your word that You've given to us, that we can look into it, Lord, that we can take it and apply it to our lives, that it is the living and breathing word that You've given to us, and we can learn from it and grow by it and walk by it. And Lord, we thank You so much for that. And I just pray that You would be with us as we go out from here, Lord. Help us to live a life that is pleasing to You. Help us to be pure in our thoughts and in our actions. Help us to live righteous lives, lives that people around us would recognize as those of a Christian follower. And Lord, I just pray that through that You would use us as a testimony for You wherever we are, that we would be a bright light shining in a dark world. We thank You, we praise You, and we just again ask Your blessing upon each of us this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.